Are you guys ready to receive a little bit of the word today?
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's the reason we come together is to you know, we took communion here, but breaking open the word is very important also, isn't it? We want to be encouraged. I don't like, you know, I like the holiday season, but I don't like to hear about Santa Claus all the time. And I don't like to hear about the Grinch or Charlie Brown, though I like those shows. I like to hear about the birth of Christ, who started the whole thing. There's something about that. And the world changes during this time of year. And so what a great opportunity to minister to people, to share your faith with them, what Christ has done. So let's pray for Pastor John as he brings forth the Christmas message this morning. Father, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we recognize that this was probably not the day that Christ was born, but we've set it aside to honor that special moment in history. And Lord, as we gather here today, I pray that our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we have an anticipation for what is about to be delivered to us. Lord, just as we would wake up on Christmas morning with an excitement, with an anticipation to open gifts, Lord, I pray that the gift that is presented now would bless us beyond measure. Lord, let your anointing, let the Spirit of God move upon Pastor John as he brings forth this word today, and we receive it as the gift that it is, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, I'd like to start out by actually reading the Christmas story right out of the Scripture. Best place to get it. Starts out in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You know, back in those days, they didn't print birth announcements in the newspaper, or they didn't have, you know, their Facebook page to show the latest baby and let everybody know that the baby was born. The way that news traveled in those days was by word of mouth, usually. You would hear it if it was something really special. You would hear it from the townspeople, maybe some of the officials at the city gates. That's where all the important news of the day was discussed. But in this particular case, the news was carried in a very special way. The announcement or the introduction of the birth of Jesus was actually carried to this earth by a group of angels. And they went to these shepherds that were out in the fields watching their flocks out in the countryside. And the angels had a very unique message when they said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And it's almost like, extra, extra, read all about it. I've got great news for you, for all the people. And as I thought about that, I was thinking that, you know, the baby, Jesus, that was to be born, that was born, wasn't just born to Mary and Joseph. He wasn't just born in their family, in their town. This baby was born, it says, for all the people. Now think about that. I know we've got a few babies here, you know, that have recently been born. Imagine If, I don't know, is Sammy and Candace out there? I don't see them right now. Who's got the youngest baby here? I don't know who has the youngest baby here. I don't know. But anyway, if you had a young baby, say it was your baby, say it was your child. You know? Say it was Paris. And Donovan and Kathy just had Paris. And Paris was born. And they got a message from God, or from angels, that said, you know, this baby is born, didn't say to you, but to all the people. And you'd be thinking like, well, wait a minute, this is our baby. And God is saying, no, this is not just your baby, this is all the people. Imagine how you would feel if you found out that your baby didn't belong, really belong to you. Well, I mean, imagine if you had to share your house. Imagine if I went out to dinner with Bob and then the meal came and I said, I'm going to pay, Bob, give me your wallet. We're sharing wallets, right? Because it's my wallet just as much as it's yours, you know? We're talking, you know, that's how the baby, this baby Jesus, was born to all the people. Then the angels go on to say to the shepherds, today... And these shepherds, also think about this, these shepherds, they represented all the people. When this message was given to the shepherds, it wasn't just given to them. That's why we read about it still today. God made sure that it went in His Word so that when He said all the people, it came to us too. This message came to us because we're the people. The shepherds were the people. They represented all the people that were there on the earth at that time. And the message goes on to us, the people. And the message was, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, Christ means the anointed one. He is the anointed one, the Lord. So the angels are telling the people that this baby is being born for you. For all the people, which means you. Each one of us can say, that baby was born for me. He was created for you. He was especially anointed baby born for you. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. To us. It doesn't say, for unto Joseph and Mary a child was born, but unto us. Jesus wasn't just born to them. And He wasn't even born to just the people at that time. Jesus was a gift from God. An amazing gift to God, given to all people for all time. And that's the true meaning of Christmas, that God has given us this most wonderful gift. The most wonderful gift that could have ever been given. His Son, Jesus. What greater gift could there be? That gift was the perfect gift, the gift that goes beyond description. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I can't begin to describe what was given to us when that baby was born into this world. We could list 100 things, 1,000 things, 1,000,000 things, and it wouldn't cover what's in store for us because of the birth of that baby, that gift that God sent to us that day. This indescribable gift. And this gift wasn't just an afterthought. It wasn't something that God looked down and said, oh my gosh, this world is such a mess. You know what? I better hurry up and send something. This isn't how it went down. There was a lot of planning in this gift. Not like us who sometimes go out. We had somebody stop by yesterday. Our neighbor stopped by, brought us over some cookies. And he was talking about how he just had the gift in the car that he just went out and picked up for his wife. And he had to go back to the store because he needed some more stuff still. We were harassing him about last-minute shopping, you know. I've done that in the past, but not anymore. I don't like going out at the end anymore. So now I'm way early now. And You know, with God, this wasn't a last-minute gift. God had been preparing this gift for us, for all people, before the foundation of the world. He made all kinds of preparations to make sure that this precious, wonderful gift would be able to be received, whether we receive it or not, but that it would be able to be received by all of mankind for all time. First, he prepared the heart of Mary. That was one of the things that he did before. Well, it wasn't the first thing, but it was one of the many things that he did before the baby was born. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at his words." Now, I had to stop there. I was looking at this last night. I was thinking about this. Here comes this amazing angel. From everything I've known and heard and read, these angels are they're dramatic. They're amazing. They're powerful. They're strong. They're bright. They're light bearing. They're something that when you see him, it's like you almost want to fall over dead. Mary was troubled by his words. "Greetings." "Oh my gosh! I can't believe you said that." You know, I mean, to me, it's like I'd be scared about the angel coming. I'm wondering if she maybe had other contact with angels. We don't know that, but she was troubled by his words. "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." In other words, I wonder what he's going to ask me. I wonder what he's got for me. I wonder what he's going to tell me. "Greetings to you who are highly favored." Is there like, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, "Oh, it's great to see you. You look wonderful today. I'm really happy. I'm glad I got to meet up with you." Thinking like, "Oh, they got something to ask me?" Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Be afraid of what? Be afraid of him or be afraid of his greeting? "You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How would you like to get that message? How'd you like to get married, find out you're having a child, and at the same time find out that that child is going to affect all of the world, and also find out that you got this baby and you don't even know how it got there? And then the angel says it's from the Holy Spirit, and she's thinking, "What are you talking about? How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin, what do you mean? How can I have this baby?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative." Now, Elizabeth was an older woman who was barren, hadn't had any children yet. "And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." What's Mary's reply? It wasn't, "Get out of here. Come on, you're going to do this to me? Come on, what's the deal?" You know, no, it was, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left. What a woman. I mean, she was just a young girl. Marissa, how old are you? 13, 14. You were about the age of Mary. I mean, she was a young girl, you know, 14, 15, 16. I'm not sure how old exactly. All of a sudden, an angel appears to you and tells you you're going to have a baby.
What's your first thought? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I mean, that would just be amazing. Think about that when you were a young girl like that. But that's how God began this preparation, speaking, sending an angel to the young girl. Then he had prepared the heart of Joseph. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and I looked that up in a couple other areas too, and it says, one who followed the law to the max. He wanted to do everything right. He was really a good guy. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, he wasn't supposed to be marrying a woman that was having a child. It wouldn't be right because that meant, that's why he didn't want to hurt her, he didn't want to harm her, he didn't want to do anything mean. He just felt like, wow, I can't go through with this now because I got to follow the law, so I need to divorce her. I'll just do it quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is a heavy word. You're going to have a little baby boy. The woman you're pledged to be married is already pregnant. She's going to have this baby child. And this child is going to save the world from their sins. Don't be afraid to marry her. Just, you know that you're going to be the Savior's dad. I mean, this is pretty heavy stuff that's going on here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So not only did God prepare Joseph and Mary, but he also sent someone to proclaim ahead of them, you know, that there was this coming gift, a witness. The very person who Elizabeth, we talked earlier, had gotten pregnant, and Elizabeth was the mom. And now this witness we're told in John 1:7, it says that he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. Now we know this witness is John the Baptist. And he was miraculously conceived, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was born for this one purpose. You know, to be a witness, to be somebody telling about what Jesus would do, how he would spread the word, to prepare a way, to make a way ready for people to be able to receive Jesus. And this is all part of, because you'll see here in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 17, we're going to see how this came about, because it's more preparation. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They're like Job. They were blameless. Have you seen my servant Job? He's blameless. Have you seen Zechariah and Elizabeth? They're blameless. They're good people. They're good people. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying inside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Not like Mary, who was more worried about what the angel said. Zechariah was, he was scared of the angel. Oh, whoa, who are you? What are you? What's going on? But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So once again, we see more preparation. Elizabeth became pregnant even before Mary was. This was all part of that early preparation, knowing that in the future that John would be the one who would go out and proclaim the coming Savior. All these things were happening so that this, the world, that we and the world and the people at that time and the people in this time would be able to be able to receive this gift from God. 700 years earlier in Micah, we're told that the birthplace of Jesus would be in Bethlehem. So hundreds of years later, it's written right down that he would be born in Bethlehem. So another preparation, the place. The prophet Isaiah also prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. And there were many other prophecies and all kinds of special circumstances and things that went on surrounding this wonderful gift from God that lets us know that there was a lot of preparation behind the scenes, way in the past. There was all kinds of preparation for when Jesus came to the earth. He came at just the right time. There were all kinds of prophecies that talked about it too. God being God would present the perfect gift at the perfect time in the perfect place. That's how God is. Who else but God, our Father in heaven, could or would bring such a wonderful gift to all the people? The gift of His one and only Son, Jesus. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son a gift, that whosoever would believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." He was the perfect gift. James 1:37 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." See, God knew how to give this perfect gift. And the really great thing about this gift from God is that it wasn't just for that one night. Yes, that was a special night. There's no doubt about that. I would love to have been there that night, been there with the shepherds, seen those angels coming, heard that heavenly choir, been able to go to the stable and see the baby Jesus in a manger. Wouldn't that be something to be able to see the Son of God? To be able to talk to Mary and Joseph? Maybe sing a song, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on the water?" Could you imagine that? This gift of God truly is a gift that keeps on giving. The gift of Jesus is always there ready for anyone who is willing to receive Him. For generations in the past and for generations to come, until the end of time. If it ever ends, this gift will be there for whoever wants it. And even for those who have already received the gift, even us, if we've already received the gift, we still are able to keep receiving through this gift. Not only our salvation, but the love of God that just, it keeps being poured out into our hearts. The forgiveness that we need so desperately over and over again. The gift of the Holy Spirit that we need to be filled with. We talked about it this past year. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, God's love, His joy, His peace, all these things, they're just continually being poured out into our hearts. This gift is still giving to us. It's a continuous cycling. It's a continuous gift being poured out. It's like a pitcher that just keeps pouring and never empties. Romans 12:6 tells us that according to God's grace, we've all been given different gifts. And so, not only do the gifts keep coming, but God knows each one of us. He knows our character, He knows our personality, He knows our situation, and He knows what each one of us needs, and He gives the perfect gifts to every one of us. God is a giver. He loves to give gifts. He loves to give them to us, His children, just like we do. Don't you love to give gifts to your children? Didn't you, if you have children, didn't you prepare and plan something for them? All we have to do is ask. Matthew 7:11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? What better gift than the gift of Jesus? Genesis 1:27 tells us that we were created in the image of God, and if God is such a great giver, He wants us to be givers too. He wants us to be givers. That's why He tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God's saying, if you're a giver, I'm going to keep giving you more because I want you to be part of that cycle. I want you to be part of that ministry, part of that love that I'm pouring out on this earth. I want you to be part of that gift. He wants us all to be, you know, working with Him and enjoying being able to be givers with Him. Some people are takers and some are givers. God is calling us, His people, to be givers in all that we do, always looking to see how we can give ourselves to the cause of Christ, give ourselves to others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Grace means gifts. It means things that we don't deserve. God wants us to faithfully give out to others, even things they don't deserve. God's love. None of us deserve God's love, but we got it, and now He wants us to share it with others. God's given us so much, and now He's calling us to be like Him, to be in His image. And this is how the wonderful gift of God keeps on giving. His gift keeps giving through us, through you. And that's what these gifts that, you know, that we give on Christmas, that's what they're symbolizing, that we're giving gifts. And we don't want to limit our giving to one day a year on Christmas. God wants us to have this spirit of giving every day of our life. He's called us to live the life of a giver. And this will lead to greater and greater blessing in our lives. When we give ourselves over to building the kingdom of God, God's word promises us to do this and all these other things will be given to you. See, when we give and we sow to build His kingdom, all around us, ministering to people, sharing His word, sharing His love, sharing His truth. That's all giving into the kingdom. And God says, then I'll give unto you. He keeps giving us. As we give out, He gives us more. We give out, He gives us more. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because when we give in the right heart, we become more and more like Christ. He laid His life down for us. He did it freely. He didn't have to. He even said He could have called down legions of angels to rescue Him. But instead, He freely gave His life. And He did that so we could freely receive and that we could freely give. Matthew 10:8 tells us, freely you have received, freely give. We could never pay back God for all He's done, for all that He's given us. But every time we give ourselves, every time we give to others, not reluctantly or, you know, under compulsion, but every time we give out of love, but cheerfully, we destroy a little bit more this selfish nature of ours, this carnal nature. It's like giving out of love is a great way to just chip away at that selfish nature we've been talking about getting rid of all year. And it helps us to become a little more like Christ. And every time we freely give out of love, we come a little bit closer to who God created us to be. God created us to be like Him. Remember, He made us in His image. He created us to be like Him in all ways, including giving of ourselves, just like Jesus did. Every time we give out of love, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, you know what we do? We touch others then with God's love. Every time we get out of love, we honor that wonderful gift that God gave us, that our Father has given to us. The most wonderful gift of all, the most wonderful gift of all, the Savior that was born to us, to all of us, to all people on that day, Jesus Christ. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for being here today, and I just pray that God would bless you abundantly and that you would have a wonderful Christmas day today. And, you know, when you have your dinner today, you're with your family, if you got friends over and maybe other family members, don't forget to give honor and glory to the whole reason that we celebrate this day. That's another way we can give, is we give honor to God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the wonderful gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. This truly is great news, good news for all people, for all of us, that we have a Savior that was born to us. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. We thank you. We honor you, Lord God. We recognize all that you've done for us. We give you all the glory, Lord God, all the honor and all the praise, for you alone are worthy. Lord, we thank you for this day that we celebrate, that we call Christmas. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each family here, each person here. Lord, I pray that throughout this day and in the days to come, that we would remember your lordship, that we would remember the sacrifice that you made, that we would remember this wonderful gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ, that we would never forget what it cost you and all the preparation that you put into this gift. Lord, we know that you've done an amazing thing for us, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Merry Christmas to all of you. Amen.